Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sanhedrin Daf Pei Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. In our previous shiur, we were introduced to the Mishnah concerning the topic of Zokein Mamre. He is the sage or scholar that decides to disagree with the Beis Din in his town and continues his disagreement all the way up to the Sanhedrin HaGadol, returns to his community and paskins against what was ruled by the Sanhedrin. The Gemara that we will be opening up with starts at the very bottom of Pei Vav Amid Beis, at which point the Gemara introduces a Tanaic source, a Brisa, in which the Pasuk Ki Pole Mimcha Dovar is explained. This Pasuk is found in Sefer Dvarim, Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Ches. We've included the Pasuk on the side of the Gemara on Daf Pei Vav Amid Beis. Before we begin the Gemara itself, let's read the Pasuk. Ki Pole Mimcha Dovar Lamishpat Bein Dom Ledom Bein Din Ledin Uvein nega lenega, divrei rivois bisharecha, vekamto vialiso amoke masher yivchar Hashem elokecha boi. Let us now start the Gemara at the very bottom of Pei Vav Amid Beis. Tanu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source, as you can see from the frame that sets it off from the rest of the Gemara. Ki ipole mimcha davar. The Gemara will, the Brisa itself will analyze each and every word in this source. The word Yipole is understood as follows, at the top of Pei Zayin, B'mufla Shebebezin Hakosuf Medaber. The topic of Zokein Mamre is dealing with someone who is an expert in justice, to the exclusion of a student, a Talmud. Mimcha Ze Yoyetz. That's a reference to Yoyetz, literally counsel. However, the interpretation, as far as our sugi is concerned, has to do with a disagreement that the Zokein Mamre has with the court with regard to the issue of extending a year. The issue of Ibor Shana is called Eitzah. V'cheinu Oimer, we have a pasuk now to show how the word Mimcha is tied into Eitzah. The pasuk says, Mimech yotza choyshev al Hashem ro'o yoyetz b'li'al. So in this pasuk you see the expression mimcha or mimech and yoyetz. Dovar ze zu halacha. That's a reference to halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai, that even matters concerning halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai, if there is a disagreement, that can be grounds for causing someone to be classified as a Zokein Mamre. Lemishpot ze hadin. That's a reference to something that has been derived through a gezerah shava, through word comparison. If there's a disagreement concerning a halacha that was derived through gezerah shava, that too would be grounds for establishing a Zokein Mamre. Bein dam ledam. A disagreement regarding matters of blood. What is that a reference to? So there are a couple of cases, Bein, Dam, Nida, where they have a machlokus concerning a matter relating to Dam, Nida, or Dam, Leda. That's Dam that is associated with birth, or Dam, Ziva, where if they have a machlokus concerning Dam related to the Ziva period, which is a different period in the cycle, so to speak, different than Nida. Bein Din Ledin. Notice how we've underlined as we go along. These underlinings are highlighting the different terms from the pasuk itself. Bein Din Ledin is a reference to several other cases. Bein Dinei Nefashos. they have some kind of controversy regarding a capital case, dine momenus, or financial matters, or dine makis, lashings. These ideas will be elaborated on later when we get into the Gemara. Bein nega lenega, they have a controversy concerning the realm of negoyim. Bein nigei odam, these are afflictions sometimes translated as leprosy, but one can argue whether that's an accurate translation. So we'll refer to them henceforth just by the word negoyim. So they may have a controversy concerning nigei odam, or nigei botim. These are afflictions that affect houses. Nigei begodim, or afflictions that appear on clothing. Divrei, the Rashi points out that the word in the pasuk could have been devar. Since the yud is added, it comes to include other matters. Elu chacharomim v'ho'erechin v'hagdeshos. These are different forms of dedication. Temple dedications. People dedicate things to the temple fund. And a machlokis, if it arises concerning these things, there between the Zokein Mamre and the Sanhedrin, there could be grounds for establishing that category of Zokein Mamre. What Rashi points out here is that these are things, the Charomim, Erechin, and Hekdeshes are things that come about through speech. A person makes a verbal dedication. It might be added that the word divrei has to do with the word dibur speech, and hence charomim, erechin, and hekdeshes come about through speech. Revoice literally means arguments. Zu hashkoas soita, the issue of causing a suspected married woman of having immoral relations with another man, is called the parshav sota. And sota comes around as a result of an argument between him and her. V'arifas egla, which is a matter that comes about as a result of a murder, which also comes through strife. V'taras mitzora. Mitzora is an issue that arises as a result of loshon hara, which is also associated with reeve, with strife and controversy between people. Bishorecha, zu leket shikha upeya. These are different matnos aniyim concerning which the Torah uses the expression v'ochlu bishorecha. V'kamta mibeizdin. This indicates that the issue of the Zokein Mamre started in a court where he was part of a local court and dissented from their opinion. So he arises from where he was sitting. The idea of his sitting, Rashi points out, he was sitting in a court and now has to thrash out his controversy with them in Yerushalayim. V'olisa, and they arise. Melamed shebeis hamikdosh gavoya mi'eretz Yisrael. The fact that in describing their trip to Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash, this indicates that the Beis HaMikdash was the highest point in Eretz Yisrael. There's a Tosfos at the upper part of the page says Shebeis HaMikdash Gavoa Lav Mikol Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't mean literally more higher than all the rest of Eretz Yisrael. Diko Ein Eitam the Midli Minei. There was a place called Ein Eitam which was higher than it. Kidomar Beizu Mekomon. Where the Gemara in Zvochim says, Sovor the Mivnei Bein Eitam, they had a thought to build the Beis HaMikdash over there, Dimidli, because it's so high up. Inamli, Kosle Beis HaMikdash Gavoa Me'ein Eitam, Shigovon Me'a Amo. Another possibility is that, in fact, the Beis HaMikdash was the highest point in Eretz Yisrael, if you factor in the walls of the Beis HaMikdash, which were 100 Amos. The area of Ein Eitam itself was approximately 23 Amos higher than the Azora of the Beis HaMikdash, but it wasn't higher than the walls of the Beis HaMikdash. The source goes on to tell us another point that's not derived from the word V'alisa, but a separate point that the Gemara will investigate its origin. It says, V'eretz Yisrael gavoa mikol ha'arotzois. The land of Israel is higher than all the other lands. El Hamoklim, Malamed Shehamoklim Gorem. The fact that the Pasuk says that they go to the place, it shows that the establishing of the Zokin Mamre is dependent on the continued controversy between him and the rest of the court in that place. There is more to say on the topic of Hamoklim Gorem, but for our purposes, that is sufficient for now. Bishlamo, Beis Hamikdash Gavoh Me'eretz Yisrael. We understand that the Beis Hamikdash is higher than the rest of Israel. Dichtiv V'alisa. It says that they leave the court that they're in and they rise to Jerusalem to the Beis Hamikdash. So if the trip from any part in Eretz Yisrael to the court is described as going up, it indicates that the Beis Hamikdash is the highest place. Elo. The second point, Eretz Yisrael, Gavoh Mikol Arotzos Mino Lei. Where do we know that from? So, and that was that second point that was mentioned at the end of the source. So where do we know this from? The answer, Dichtiv. There's a pasuk that indicates that Eretz Yisrael is higher than the rest of the lands. Lochein hine yomim boim num Hashem, v'lo yomru oid chai Hashem, asher helo es b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Yisrael. There are days that will be coming, and it will no longer be said, this is the God that brought the Jews out of Mitzrayim. Ki'im chai Hashem, asher helo v'asher hevi es ezera b'eis Yisrael me'eretz Zafona, u'mikol ha'arotzos asher hidachtim sham v'yoshvu al admosam. The main thing for our purposes is just noticing the dashed underline expressions. The pasuk is describing a day in the future where the exiles will be ingathered to Eretz Yisrael, and they are described as being brought up he'elah. We've dashed underline, and it says mi Eretz Safona, and primarily umikol harotzos, and from all other lands. So the journey from all other lands to Eretz Yisrael is described as he'elah, as a rising, indicating Eretz Yisrael is higher than the rest of the lands. We now feature a Tanaic source in which there are three Tanaic opinions. We've entitled this with a nosei, emphasizing the first opinion. It says, our nosei topic heading is Ein Zokin Mamre Chayov Elo Al Dover Shizdoinoi Kores V'Shigosu Chatos Divrei Rabbi Meir. A Zokin Mamre is not established as such unless his controversy with the basin concerns a matter that, if done b'mezid, the offender would be Chayov a Kores penalty, cutting off, being cut off, or dying young, heaven or a heaven-ordained punishment, and if done unwittingly, he would be chayev a korban chatos. There are many other types of averis that don't fall under that category, and hence, according to Rabbi Meir, if they had a controversy concerning something which is punishable by lashing alone, that would not be grounds for establishing a zokin mamre, according to Rabbi Meir. There are two other opinions in the source. The reason we're emphasizing Rabbi Meir is because in the course of the Gemara, later on, a great deal of emphasis is going to be placed on understanding the above source, the source at the top that mentioned all the different examples of controversy, and try to understand it according to Rabbi Meir's approach. Tana Rabbanan. We see a Tanaic source, as once again you can see a framed section. Zokin Mamre, Eino Chayov, Elo Al Dover Shizdoinu Koros Vishikagosu Chatos Divrei Rabbi Meir. A Zokin Mamre does not become classified as such unless his controversy concerns a matter that, if done, b'mezid, done in a premeditated, determined fashion, there would be a penalty of kores, and if done unwittingly, it would result in a need to bring a korban chatos, a chatos sacrifice. This is Rabbi Meir's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, al davar shikoro midivrei Torah upirusho midivrei Sofrim. According to Rabbi Yehuda, someone can be established as a zokei mamre if his machlokis, if his controversy with the court revolves around a matter which is found, which is Torah based, and its details are explained through an oral tradition, midivrei Sofrim, through rabbinic explanation. Rabbi Shimon Omer, afilu diktuk echod midiktuke Sofrim. Rabbi Shimon says that, and he expands the possibilities of a zokein mamre arising. He says even if it's an inference or a matter of a diktuk echod from rabbinic learning, that too could result in a zokein mamre if he has a controversy concerning something that is derived through rabbinic exposition. As you can see, as we go on in the Gemara, diamonds begin to appear. They are featured on our key on the side. These diamonds with the colored in tips are explained under the Mivneh heading, Mai Taimo Lodeoi Satanoim Benoisei Hanal. What is the reason or the source for the different Tanoim in that which we just mentioned above? My time of the Rabbi Meir. And you notice a few lines later Rabbi Huda appears and then Rabbi Shimon. Each one of the Tanayim just mentioned in the source we just learned. So what is the reasoning behind Rabbi Meir? Answer, Gomar Dovar Dovar, he has a word comparison. In the topic of the Zochei Mamre, you have the word Dovar. As you can see, it's dashed, underlined. In the context of Par Helam Dovar Shel Tzibur, it says Venelam Dovar Me'enei HaKohol. This is a topic whereby the Sanhedrin erred in their Psak Din, and in the event that they make a mistake in the Psak Din, they have to bring a special korban called a Par Helam Dovar Tzibur. Now, their mistake concerns what? So, we go on in the Gemara, it says, Ma lahalon, just like in the realm of the Par Helam Dovar, it's Dovar Shechayav Al Zdainu Yikoriz Hashigos Uchatos. Their mistaken Psak must concern something of this severity, where B'mezid Koreis and B'shoyge Chatos. So, and that's proven in Maseches Horius. So just like in the case of Par Helam, it has to be something of that nature, Af Kan, so too in the case of the Zokein Mamre, by virtue of this word comparison, it too is a Dover Shizdein, Chayev Al Zdein Yikorez Vashigos Uchatos. Rabbi Huda, who said that a Zokein Mamre could be established even in a case where he disagrees with the Sanhedrin al Dovershi Korah Midiri Torah Pishu Midiri Sofrim. The Gemara explains al pi hatoira asher yerucha, and which is a posuk yud aleph in this very same parsha of Zokein Mamre, and he understands ad deika Torah viyerucha, until you have a situation where the basic halacha is Torah oriented viyerucha, and its explanation is through rabbinic exposition. V'Rabbi Shimon, he also looks at a posuk in this parsha, posuk Yud of Perek Yud Zayin, Asher Yagidu L'cha Min Hamokim Hahu. What they tell you, meaning what the Sanhedrin says in from that place, what are they saying? Afilu Kaltahu, even a detail, even if it's not a major topic. Nevertheless, according to Rabbi Shimon, even koldu, even a minor point, could, if there is a controversy between the Zokein Mamre and the Sanhedrin on such an issue, that could result in his being classified as such. Before we go further in the Gemara, we have a nosei, a topic heading, and we've also indicated that this topic will go until Pei Ches Omed Aleph. So this is going to be Lahazbir Kol Hamokor Shebarosha Omud Aliba de Rabbi Meir. We're going to attempt to explain the source that was found at the top of this Omud. According to Rabbi Meir, the Ain Zokein Mamre Ela Im Kein Chulkin Bedovar Shezdein Yikoriz Jelos Uchatos, unless their controversy concerns an offense and an avera, which if done b'meizid would be kores, and if done b'shogeg would result in a korban chatos. Under our mivneh heading, we feature a double underline, which is one of our series markings. These double underlines, as you scan ahead, even at this early point in the Gemara, you'll notice a series of double underlines, and these continue to daf pei ches amud aleph. These are tzitutim, quotes mehamokor bereish pei zayin amud aleph. They are underlines. These underlines are quotes from the brisa at the top, bereish ha'amud. So we now we go into the Gemara, and we'll be analyzing, as we said, each one of the examples and trying to discover where is there an element of Zdoinoi Kores in each one of the examples. Omar le Ravuna bar Chinuna le Rova. Tirgama li leha masnisa aliba de Rebbe Meir. Would you explain this brisa according to Rebbe Meir, adopting Rebbe Meir's standard? Amale Rava Rav Papa. Rava, who was asked to explain it, turns now to Rav Papa and says, Pok Tirgamot Le, you go out and explain it to him. With our markings, we've done something that's maybe a bit unorthodox in terms of scope, but you'll notice there's a point, a nekuda, a nun, that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. This indicates a point. It's a nekuda, a long point, and you notice the vertical dashed line that extends below the nun. Notice it continues on the omid bays, on peizayimid bays, goes down all the way down the omid, and it continues down three quarters of the page, peiches omid aleph. The reason for this is because all of this Gemara, and it's quite a long piece of Gemara, is dedicated to this one point. And the point being, showing how each one of the cases featured in the brice above have an element of Zdono Kores Vishigigosu Chatas. It may be noted ahead of time that as we go on in the Gemara, we are going to be exposed to sugyas that are found all over the Shas. The course of our learning and through the Shiurim of Gemara markings, we point out that we are highly encouraging everyone to go through and learn all of the Shas. Hence, from time to time, one encounters sources or discussions whose main discussion is featured in its respective masechtas. And hence, even if one feels that he's not receiving a full understanding at this particular point, have no fear, because those particular points will be discussed at much greater length in their respective locations. We now turn to the Gemara, and we are going to see Rav Papa now explaining each one of the examples. Ki pole Bimuflo Shebebezin Hakosuv Medaber. This is a quote from what we saw at the top of the Omid, that the Zoki Mamri must be someone who is himself expert in justice. Mimcho Ze Yoyetz Sheyoidea Leaber Shonim Vilegboya Chadoshim, that he knows how to extend years and fix months on the Jewish calendar. Kidisnan. We're now going to be introduced to a Tanaic source that features the issue of year extension. And in the next few lines, we're going to see how the issue of year extension can entangle someone in an issue of Zdoinei Kores and Shigoso Chatas. The source is coming from Maseches Edius. Hein Heidu, this is a reference to Rabbi Yeshua and Rav Papias. They testified, Shema'abrin es hashona kol ador. The decision to extend a year can be made up till the end of Adar. Adar being essentially the last month in the monthly cycle, the year beginning with the month of Nisan. And when we want to extend a year, we extend an Ador Beis. Why is it that they, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Papias, testified that one can extend, that a year can be extended, or the decision to extend the year can be made till the very end of Ador? Shehoyu Omrim, The other Chachamim used to say, Ad HaPurim, that the decision to extend a year can be made up till Purim, and not beyond that. As far as the reasons for that, Rashi features that, but for our purposes, we don't have to get into the reasoning behind this machlokas. However, what is important to note is that if you hold that a year can be extended, the decision to extend the year can be made till the end of Adar, and you have a controversy with regard to the opposing opinion that says, no, the decision can be made only up till Purim, let us say that a decision is made, in fact, after Purim, so that when will Pesach come out? Pesach, which is a month after Purim, if the decision to extend the year is made, let's say, 2 weeks after Purim, so the year, if it's extended, means an additional month is added. So when will Pesach come out relative to Purim? It'll come out 6 weeks after Purim. However, if you hold that after Purim you cannot make an extension of the year, then obviously Pesach will be 4 weeks after Purim, and that's it. Now, the issue of Pesach concerns a matter which is Chayav Bekores, namely the consumption of Chometz during Pesach. So, if you say that Pesach is going to come out 6 weeks from now, the opposing opinion that says, no, it's going to be only 4 weeks after Purim, so that when your version of Pesach comes out, namely 6 weeks after Purim, those who said it is going to come out beforehand, when your Pesach comes around, they'll be eating chometz. And that's a matter of Zdono Kores. The Gemara goes on, Di'i lahai gisa koshori chometz bepesach, whether it be to this side, and you will end up being matir chometz bepesach, Di'i lahai gisa koshori chometz bepesach. Dovar ze halacha. What is that a reference to? We mentioned when we saw the source above, halacha was a reference to halacha l'moshe Sinai. Those are halachas that are part of an oral tradition given to Moshe at the time of the giving of the Torah. Zu hilchis achadasar. This is a reference to halachas that concern the 11 days. Let us say a word about the issue of 11 days. The woman experiences a cycle known as the Nida cycle, sometimes referred to as the monthly cycle, during the time that she has her dam, the blood that comes as part of her natural monthly cycle, she is tame for a period of 7 days. This is a din d'oraisa. We are not going to be touching on anything of a rabbinic nature in this particular discussion, and certainly we're not going to be dealing with anything of a practical legal application. So on a Torah level, when a woman becomes a Nida, she is considered Tamea for 7 days. After the 7 days, there is a period of time called the Yemei Ziva. Those days last for 11 days. If during any one of those 11 days she happens to have a sighting of Dam, she's obligated to observe the following day with restraint from conjugal relations. This is known as Shomeris Yom Keneged Yom. One day of Dam requires another day of Shmira, of guarding or of being careful or checking out that she doesn't have a subsequent day of Dam. In fact, even if there are two consecutive days, it's sufficient that she keeps a third day Betara. If she has 3 days of sighting during this period, called the 11 days of Ziva, then she has to keep a period of 7 days of Tahara. If after that, when the 11 days go by, if she has a subsequent sighting, then it's the Nida period starts again. This is a cycle. It's called 7-11. There is quite a bit more detail that can be said on this particular topic. We are going to try to focus on one particular aspect of things as we go on in the Gemara. The Itmar, Asiri. When focusing on the 10th day of this 11-day period of time, known as the Yemei Ziva, let us say she has a sighting of Dam on the 10th day. The truth is that if her initial sighting is on the 10th day, she cannot become a Zava Gedola, because in order to become a Zava Gedola, you would have to have 3 days of Dam, 3 days of blood sighting, within the 11-day period. The 10th day is only 1 day removed from the end. You have 10 and 11. After that, she enters the Nida cycle again. The question is, if she has a sighting on day 10, does she have to observe day 11 as a day of restraint, a day of shmira? Is she considered a shemeris yom keneged yom regarding an initial dam sighting that appears on day 10? Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Asiri Kitshi. Sighting on the 10th is like a sighting on the 9th. And just like a sighting on the 9th requires her to watch, to be shemeris yom keneged yom, and she's forbidden to her husband on day 10, once again, if she has a sighting on day 9, she is forbidden to her husband on day 10. Naturally, of course, on day 9 itself, she's certainly forbidden. That's the day she saw the dam. But she is asur, she's asura on day 10 as well. For Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Omar, Asiri ke'achadasar. We didn't speak about achadasar before, but we hinted to it. If she has a sighting on day 11, even though she's asura to her husband on that day, but the next day is not going to be a shemeris yom keneged yom, because the next day is already off the scale, so to speak. It already re-enters the Nida realm, and as such, there's no obligation to keep another day b'tahara. So Reish Lakish says that we view day 10, a sighting on day 10, as we would view a sighting on day 11. And she doesn't have to be Shemeris Yom Keneged Yom, even though she is forbidden on day 10 itself, but the next day she would be Muteris. The Gemara explains more or less what we just said inside now. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Asiri Kitshi. What did he mean by that when he said 10 is like 9? Ma chi boishim, or just like a sighting on day 9 requires the next day to be, she must restrain herself from intimacy with her husband. And she has to make sure that she has to check herself out that she doesn't have an additional day of sighting. Af asiri, so too, day 10, boishimor, so too, if she has a sighting on day 10, day 11 will also be a day of restraint and checking. Reish Lakish Omar, Asiri Kachadasar. The way we treat a sighting on day 10 is the same way we would treat a sighting on day 11. Ma Achadasar Lobo Ishimor. Just like a sighting of Dam on day 11 does not require her to keep the next day with the restraint that we mentioned before. Af asiri lo bo ishimor. So too, a sighting on day 10 would not restrict her on day 11. Now, how is this a machlokes in the realm of zdono kores? So, before we apply it, let's just emphasize that a woman who had a sighting on one of the Yemei Ziva, let's say in the middle of the Yemei Ziva on day 7, day 8 she is forbidden to be with her husband, because that's the yom, that's the shomeris yom keneged yom, that's the day she has to keep with restraint, in light of the fact that the previous day there was an actual sighting. Now, let us say there was a sighting on day 10. before we say that again, just the main point must be emphasized. And if on the day of restraint she violates the restraint and has relations with her husband, she has violated, and he too has violated, an offense that is bemazed. If done wittingly, knowingly, it results in kores. And if done unwittingly, a korban chatos must be brought. Therefore, on day 10, let us say there was a sighting, and on day 11, we have to know what the din is. And that's concerning day 11, a controversy arises between the Zalkin Mamre and the Sanhedrin. Well, day 11, is she forbidden to her husband or not? So that itself is a topic of Zdono Kores and Shigo Sochatas, depending on which side the Zalkin Mamre takes. The Sanhedrin will take the opposite opinion. So their controversy concerns a topic, as we said before, of Zdono Kores and Shigogos Chatos. Continuing in the Gemara, Mishpot, Ze Hadin. We said that's a reference to things that are derived through Gezeirah Shava. What is a halacha that's derived through a Gezeirah Shava, whose nature is, if violated, Zdono, Kores, and Shigogosu Chatos? The answer is Din Bitoy Me'anusoso. This is a topic that we've learned, we've been exposed to earlier in the Masechta. A man has a daughter, but not through marriage. He raped a woman, and as a result of that rape, a daughter was born to him. That's called Bito Me'anusoso. She is forbidden to her father. The person who violates and has relations with such a daughter is in violation of something that, if there are no witnesses, it would be Zdono Kores Shigogos Chatos. Bito Me'anusoso is derived through a Gezeirah Shava. The Omar Rova, Omar Le Rav Yitzchak Bar Avudimi, Asya Heino Heino, Asya Zima Zima. That through the word comparisons of Heino Heino and Zima Zima, we arrive at the conclusion that Bito Me'anusoso, a daughter that's born through a rape, she is forbidden to him, and if the father has relations with her and there were witnesses and warned him, it would actually result in a capital punishment of Srefa. If there are no witnesses, so there's Kores. So if there arises a controversy concerning Bito Me'anusoso, we would say this is a controversy concerning a matter of Zdono Kores Shigogos Chatos. Bein Dam Ledam, Bein Dam Nida, Dam Leda, Dam Ziva. The double underline, of course, is, as we mentioned before, a quote from the source. There are three examples of Dam issues, of blood issues, concerning which a controversy may arise between the Zalkin Mamre and the Sanhedrin, which would be classified, according to Rabbi Meir, as Zdono Kores Shigogos Chatos, and let's see what these examples are. Dam Nida. The issue of Dam Nida will arise Biplukta Akavya ben Mahalalel v'Rabbonon. These Tanoim, the Akavi Mahalalel and Rabbonon, had a machlokis, which is featured in the following Tanaic source, Disnan, Dam HaYoroik. This is Dam that doesn't have a red color to it. It's some type of release that comes from the woman. It, however, is yorok. Yorok is a color that's other than, it's another kind of color, but it's not red. The question is this yorok color sufficient to classify her as anida? Akavya ben Mahalalel mitame. He says that the dam yorok is dam nida. V'chachomim mitarim. And they say it's not. Now, let's give a practical example. Practical, we don't mean here halacha lemaisa, we don't mean practical application for our daily living, but to tie it into the Gemara, how do we see a machlokes concerning azdono kores. Of course, the realm of nida, a woman experiencing her monthly period, if a person has relations with her, if a man has relations with her during that period, he is violating a severe area of halacha, who if done bemazid, is in fact the kores. Let's see what happens with this case of Dam HaYorog. If you hold like Akavya ben Mahalalel, as soon as the Dam Yorok appears, she starts the 7-day counting period during which she is classified as a Nida. If 2 days later some red fluid, which we'll call Dam, comes forth from her, fine, it's part of the 7-day counting period. It doesn't start up any new counting period, because once the 7-day clock starts, it goes for 7 days, no matter what happens during those 7 days. After the 7 days, she goes to mikveh and she becomes mutter to her husband. When did the 7-day period start? From the time that the Dam HaYorok emerged, according to Akavya ben Mahalalel. According to the Chachomim, in the example we mentioned before, if 2 days after the Dam HaYorok starts, red Dam appears, according to the Chachomim, it's only from that point in time that the 7-day clock starts, from the appearance of the red. So, if you follow the Shitas Chachomim, the 7 days starts from the red, not from the initial Dam HaYorok. So, in our example, at day 5, according to Akavya ben Mahalalel, that's already the end of the Nida period. But according to Chomim, we're only 5 days after the red appeared. The fact that 2 days before that Yorok appeared, that didn't start the 7-day clock from running. So, after day five, let's say day six in this particular example, according to the Chomim, she is still forbidden. According to Akavya ben Mahalalel, she is now muteris. So if a husband and wife have relations on day six, meaning day six after the red sighting, which is day eight after the Yorok sighting, according to the Chachomim, she would be in violation of she would be still a Nida, and she would be in violation of Dover Shizdainen Koreis Vishigosuma Chatas. So hence, if the Chachomim and the Zokei Mamre takes a different side in this controversy concerning Dam Yorok, you can see the practical application of a Machlokis concerning a Dover Shizdainen Koreis Shigosu Chatas. Dam Leida, Beplukto de Rav Velevi. The Omar Rav. Mayon Echod Hu Hatoro Tim Osoi Vatoro Tiharoso. We'll go over what Rav said, but we must offer a little bit of introduction. A woman, when she gives birth, she's considered Tamea Tumas Leda. For a period of, in the case of a female birth, the child, a little girl, a daughter is born, she is Tamea for 2 weeks, during which time she's forbidden to her husband. Following that, there is a 66 days of Tahara, which basically means that for 66 days after the 2 weeks of Tumas Leda, she is Tahora, she's Muteris to her husband, even if she has a sighting of Dam. It's called Dam Tohar. So we have 14 plus 66. 14 of Tuma, 66 days of Tahara. When you reach day 80 from the birth, she leaves the Yemei Tahara, and the basic Nida cycle starts again. What about the transition points from day 14 to day 15, which is from the end of the Tumas Leda into the Yemei Tohar period? does there have to be, if there is, let us say, before we actually give a practical example, we mentioned there's a period of Yemei Tumas Leida, Tomei days, and Tohar days. Tohar days, as we said before, if there's any sighting, it's rendered, it's called Tohar, it's not impure, it's not Tomei. Are the dam, or the sightings that come during the Yemei Tuma and the Yemei Tar coming from the same source, same body source? We'll call them, as using the expression you find in the Gemara, Ma'ayon. Ma'ayon literally is a well, or spring. Are they coming from the same Ma'ayon or not? If they are coming from the same Ma'ayon, so the Torah is saying as follows: during the first 14 days, whatever comes from that Ma'ayon is Tomei, and for the next 66 days, whatever comes from it is Tahor. There's another approach that says Shnei Ma'ayonos Haim. There are two sources. One is the source of Dam Tumas Leida, the Tumas Leida source. And during the 66 days, there's a second Ma'ayon. The difference being, what would happen if there's a continual flow from day 14 into day 15? Day 15 is the beginning of that 66 period, the 66 day period we mentioned of Tahara. What would happen if there's a continuous flow? Well, if it's a continuous flow, it's obviously whatever was started on the 14th is the same thing that's continuing into the 15th. We cannot say that the second Ma'ayon has opened up. We can't say that the first one closed and the second one opened, because we have a continuous flow from day 14 into day 15. So whatever started on 14 is obviously continuing into day 15. So if you hold that there's one Ma'ayon, and the Torah simply declares that it's all based on the day, so even though it's a continual flow, but the Torah says that on day 14 it was Tomei, on day 15 it's Tohar. If, however, you hold there two Ma'ayonos, that requires us to see some type of stopping, a cessation in flow. If there's a cessation, there's a stoppage, then I can say, one, the first one closed up, and the second one now opens and starts flowing. If you hold that you need to see the stoppage, and it doesn't stop, so if you have a continuous flow from day 14 into day 15, and you hold, Shtei Ma'ayonos Haim, she will be forbidden on day 15 to her husband, because there hasn't been a stop. It's the Dam Tuma that's continuing. Relations of that nature are punishable by Kores. Zdono Kores Shikosom Chatos. So, if you hold, however, it's Ma'ayon Echod, she would be Muteres. So this Machlokes between Rav and Levi, which we'll shortly read in the Gemara, If it's taken on by the Zokein Mamre against the Sanhedrin, you are once again dealing with a realm of Zdono Chatos Shigigoso, Zdono Kore Shigigoso Chatos. Continuing now in the Gemara, the Itmar, Rav Omar Mayon Echod Hu, the source of sightings for the days of Tuma and the days of Tara is one. It's the same source. Mayon Echod Hu. The Torah declares, simply based on the day, whether it's Tomei or Tohar. The Levi Omar, Shnei Ma'ayonos Haim. There are two sources. In order to determine that the second source is responsible for the sighting, there would have to be a stoppage at a certain point. Nistam hatomei, niftach hator. When the tomei one stops, and then afterwards there appears more dam after a stoppage, then I would say Niftach HaTohar, the Tohar source has opened up. Nistam HaTohar, this example applies to the end of the 66-day period, where for all of those 66 days, any dam that was cited was classified as Tohar. How do I know when the Tomei dam, the dam nida, would begin? Well, that would require, again, Nistam HaTohar, at the end of the 66 Tohar days, it closes up, Niftach HaTomei. If there's then a subsequent flow afterwards, we would classify that as dam nida when at the end of that 66-day period. Dam ziva, the machlokes of the Zokin Mamre and the Sanhedrin concerning dam ziva, that would be zdono, kores, shigos, uchatos, would be beplukta, the Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Yeshua, concerning a machlokes that these Tanoim had. If, once again, the Sanhedrin takes one side and the Zokin Mamre takes another side, they are arguing over an issue of Zdono Kores. What is the case? So we'll have a Tanaic source that's featured in the frame. It deals with a woman that is about to give birth. She's very close to giving birth. If a woman experiences several days of dam sighting, of blood flow, as the birth day approaches, even if it's a continuous flow for several days, which, if she wasn't pregnant, a continuous flow of several days could result in her becoming a Zava Gadola. We mentioned before, 3 days of dam sighting during the Zava period would result in her becoming a Zava Gdola, which means she has to keep 7 days of Tara, and after which she has to bring a Korban. If, however, there's several days of Dam sighting that culminates in a birth, we would say that the Dam she was seeing was not a result of her Ziva period, but it was a result of the fetus that was the baby, the fetus that was causing this dam to come forth from her, and not having anything to do with her ziva. What would happen if you have several days of dam sighting, 3 days of dam sighting or more, and then a lull in the pain, what's called, is called shofi, quiet from pain, and after the quiet, the child emerges. The fact that there was a break, so to speak, from the several days of dam that she was seeing, accompanied by pain, which we thought is probably associated with the upcoming birth, but then there was a stoppage, and afterwards the baby was born, there is reason to believe that the previous days of dam sighting, of blood sighting, was not a function of the baby. If that be the case, then she would be declared a zava. And as such, even after she gives birth, and she experiences her yomei tumas leda, she still has to keep beyond that a 7-day period of tara. And she's forbidden to her husband during those additional 7 days after the Tumas Leido days. And if she has relations with her husband as a result of her being classified as a Zava, or we call Yoledes Bezov, she is violating Zdono Koris V'Shigigoso Chatos. So as we go on in the Gemara, we are going to bear in mind that we're dealing once again with a topic that could lead to such an offense. What's their machlokis, Rebbe Elazar and Yeshua? This man, kishto shloisha yomim besoich achadosar yom. She was having pain and blood sightings during the previously mentioned 11-day ziva time period. So during the Achadosar Yom, the 11-day Ziva time period, we're dealing once again with a woman who's about to give birth, and she's having these days, 3 days of pain with blood. Im shafsa me'es la'es v'yalda. If the pain stops, me'es la'es means for 24 hours, and after that she gives birth, we are going to say, harezu yoledes bezov, divrei Rebbe Elazar. She is considered as if she's considered a zava. She's giving birth, and in addition to the fact that she's giving birth, she's also classified as a zava. As we mentioned before, the blood that she was seeing prior to this could not be ascribed to the child, and hence we have out of default, or the only other alternative is she must have been a zava. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, he says something of a similar nature. However, we have to pay attention to the difference. How long is the time period that would declassify her as a simple Yoledes and make her a Yoledes Bezov? Rabbi Yoshua says, not a simple 24 hours, but Laila V'yoim Kalele Shabbos V'yomo. It has to be a stoppage of pain for a night and a day. Not a partial night and a partial day, but a full night and a day. Only then would she be considered a Yoledes Bezov. If not, if she had 3 days of dam sighting, and then sometime, let's say, the pain stopped at noontime, and she remained without the pain for 24 hours, according to Rabbi Yeshua, from noon till the subsequent noon the next day, and then gave birth, she would not be considered a zava. Rabbi Yeshua is, for our purposes, represents a lenient opinion. The source adds, Sheshofsa min atzar velo min hadam. When we talk about the period of shofi literally means quiet, it means the pain was absent, even though the dam was continuing to flow. Therefore, according to Rabbi Yoshua, if she had these 3 days of dam with pain, and then a simple 24-hour period of shofi, where the pain stopped, after which she gave birth, if it's not a full night and a full day, she is not considered a Yoledes Bezoiv, and hence, 2 weeks after the birth, if it's a female birth, she will be mutter to her husband. According to Rabbi Elazar, though, since there was a simple 24-hour period after the pain stopped, which led up to the birth, since it was a 24-hour period, she is classified as a Yoledes Bezov, and hence she will be forbidden to her husband after the 2 weeks of Tumas Leda. She'll be forbidden to him for another 7 days, and if she has relations with him, then she is Overis a Zodoin Kores Shigigosoi Chatos. Therefore, if you have the Zokein Mamre and the Sanhedrin, each one taking a different side in this controversy, they are arguing over a matter of Zodoin Kore Shigosu Chatos. We continue with another quote from the source, Bein Din Ledin, Bein Dine Momenus, Dine Nefoshois, Dine Makois. As we go on in the Gemara, we're just going to mention by way of introduction that some of these examples that we'll be seeing are not directly issues of Zodon Kores Shigosu Chatos, but rather as a result of the controversies here, there's going to be an issue of money payment that's going to be necessary. If the money payment is done incorrectly, someone then receives money he shouldn't have received. He then takes that money and offers it as marriage money, kesef kiddushin, to a woman. She's not considered married to him. It's money that he had no right to take in the first place. And if a second man comes along and offers that particular woman legitimate marriage money, she is considered married to the second man and not to the first. And if the first guy who gave her the money he shouldn't have given then thinks or considers her his wife after she married a second man legitimately, so he's over Eishes Ish. And Eishes Ish is a topic of Zdono Kores Shigigoso Chatos. So bear that in mind as we go along in this Gemara. We're going to be dealing with the issue of misappropriated funds as a result of some kind of machlokas, which the Gemara will describe. And it's with those funds that a person goes ahead and is Mekadesh and Isha, and that creates the situation of a Eishes Ish problem, because when Mr. 1 is Mekadesh her, and then Mr. 2 comes along and offers her legitimate Kesef Kedushin, she would be considered married to Mr. 2 and not to Mr. 1. If Mr. 1, as we mentioned before, goes ahead and considers her his wife, he is over a Eishes Ish, which is Dono Kore Shigoso Chatos. Let's now see how the issue of the money and the misappropriated funds arises in a machlokas form. Dine Momenus, Bepluto de Shmuel v'Rabbi Avo, as is the subject of their machlokas. What does that mean? So we continue. The Omar Shmuel, Shnayim Shedonu, Dineim Din. If two people sit as a court and rule on a particular matter, a financial matter, what their ruling is binding, Elo Shenikroin, based in Chotzuf. They are nevertheless considered a chutzpah dik bezdin, because a bezdin should be three, not two. However, if there are two, according to Shmuel, their ruling is binding. Rabbi Avo, Omar, ledivrei hakol, ein dineihem din. According to Rabbi Avo, no one would accept the ruling of two judges. Therefore, before we go on, we should take a look at a Rashi. You notice we have a star in the Rashi, in the wide lines, the Plukta de Shmuel Rabbi Avo, fifth wide line, the Kevon de Afiki Hani Beitre Mamona Mehai. If you have a court of two that rules that so-and-so owes money to so-and-so, and they take the money, so to speak, Afiki Hani, they take the money from A and give it to B. Reading this again in the Rashi, v'kevan da'afiki hani bei trei mamona mehai v'yahavu mehai. They take from one and give to the other. V'dino didhu through their ruling. V'holach ze v'kidesh isha boisa mamon. And this man who received the money because of the ruling of two, is his holding of the money legitimate? Well, according to Shmuel, it's legitimate. And then if he goes and marries a woman, l'Shmuel mekudeshes, the woman that he married is legitimately this man's wife. The Rabbi Avo ain't a mekudeshes. According to Rabbi Avo, the ruling of two is non-binding, and therefore she's not married. Davile kitcha begezel, because it's tantamount to marrying her with theft money. V'kaimel perik beis de kedushin gabi maisa de chamisha noshim sheiskachu bekalkola. Kitcha begezel ain't a mekudeshes. Regarding a particular topic that's featured in Maseches Kiddushin, the Gemara there concludes that marrying a woman with that which is stolen, she's not married. The hashta osi lidei kores. Now, we will encounter a kores possibility. E rabbonon kishmuel. If the rabbonon in the Zokin Mamre controversy take the side of Shmuel, that said, dinei hem din, that their ruling is legitimate, the Zokin Mamre ki Rabbi Avo, and the Zokin Mamre assumes the position of Rabbi Avo that their ruling is zero, is nothing. Vinami, or you switch it around, Rabbonin ki Rabbi Avo, the Zokin Mamre ki Shmuel, osi lidei kores. We can get ourselves embroiled in a kores problem. The komash viluhu kidushin, because they are making it, if you hold that the judgment of two is binding, so the kedushin that Mr. One gives to her, the fellow who got the money as a result of the ruling of two, the marriage that he offers to a woman, she's considered married because his money was legitimate. The osi inish achrino lebosor hochi, and if someone else comes along, the kitcha, and gives her kesef kedushin, mapik lo mibasra below get, we will take her out. We will take her away from the second man without a get. She doesn't need a get because she's not married to Mr. Two. V'havilei davar shezdoinoi kareis b'lo edim b'lo hasra. This is a matter of eish hasish, that without witnesses and warning, it's zdono kareis. Di'ika edim hasra havi misas based in. If there would be witnesses and a warning against the offender, that would result in a capital punishment. If you don't have witnesses and a warning, so, as we mentioned, it results in kores. So, to say it in a more succinct fashion, the issue of Eishes Ish, is she an Eishes Ish or not, this is a matter of Zdono Kores Shugoso Chatos. Continuing in the Gemara, Dine Nefoshos, Beplukto the Rebbe Rabbonon, Tesanya. Once again, we're going to just remind ourselves that in the final analysis, the issue is the money that so-and-so is awarded, is it legitimately his or not? And if it is legitimately his, he would be able to mekadesh an isha with it. If not, then she's not mekudeshes. How does the Dine Nefashos case apply to us? What is the case? Desanya, Rebbe Oimer. This is a situation, the pasuk that we're about to read in Shmois Perek Chof Aleph, is a situation where there is a fight between two people, and a murder took place, a death took place. However, it's a case of miskaven laharoig ezeh v'horag ezeh. The attacker intended to kill party A, and he ended up killing party B. The Torah says as follows: in such a case, v'nosato nefesh tachas nefesh, there was intent to kill A, but B was killed. Nefesh tachas nefesh. What does that mean? Mamon. A financial restitution is made to the family of the victim. Atoimer mamono eno elo nefesh mamish. Are you telling me it means money, or maybe it means he has to pay with his life? He committed a murder. The answer is no. He doesn't pay with his life. And how do I know that? Ne'mar nesino lamalo v'ne'mar nesino lamato. The word nosan appears earlier in the case of a woman that was standing in the vicinity of two people fighting, and the attacker hit the woman and caused her to miscarry her offspring. The pasuk there says v'nosan b'flilin, which means he has to pay. He has to pay the father of those unborns for the miscarriage that this attacker was responsible for. So just like over there, the word nosan appears, and it clearly means financial restitution. So too, v'nemar nesino lamato. So too, in our pasuk of v'nosata nefesh tachas nefesh, ma lahalon mamon. Just like above, it meant mamon by the miscarriage. My money was paid. Afkan, so too, in v'nasata nefesh tachas nefesh, mamon. Therefore, if you hold like Rebbe, then the money that's paid to the family of the deceased is legitimately theirs. If you hold like those that disagree with Rebbe, there is no money payment. And if the family of the deceased seizes money from the attacker, they have no right to take that money. And if they do, and try to mekadesh a woman with that money, she's eino mekudeshes, as we discussed already before. And the issue of eishes ish is zdoinei kores yosuchatos. Dine makis, beplukto de Rebbe Yishmoel v'rabonon. Desnan, makos begimel, a court that can rule on makos, numbers 3. Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Amru be Esri Mishloisha. According to Rabbi Shmuel, in order to carry out a Makos penalty, you have to have a court of 23. Therefore, if according to Rabbi Shmuel, a court of 3 were to carry out the Makos penalty, they are doing something not legitimate. They are in effect hitting someone. As a result of that, they would be obligated to compensate the person that was lashed. According to the Rabbanan, the court is doing what they're supposed to do. So is the victim, if he receives compensation money, is that legitimately money that he can keep? according to Rabbi Shmuel, yes, if a court of three, according to Rabbi Shmuel, carried out Malkus, they had no right to do it. Therefore, they must compensate him. And if he receives money, if the victim receives money, he can use that money to Mekadesh and Isha. According to the Tanakama, no, he has no right to take that money. And if he does, and then goes and is Mekadesh, a woman with that money, she is not his wife. Bein nega lenega, bein nigei odom, nigei botim, nigei begodim. The issue of negoyim is an issue concerning tuma and tara. If a person is tome and goes into the Beis HaMikdash, he is chayav kores. So a controversy concerning these issues will ultimately result in the possibility of Tuma and the Beis HaMikdash, which as we just mentioned is a topic of Zdono Koresh Yugosuchatos. What's the case? Where do we see controversies concerning these topics? Nige Odom Bepluto de Rabbi Yeshua Rabbonan Disnan. We have a Machlokas bin Rabbi Yeshua Rabbonan as is featured in the following source. Im Baheres Kidam Leseir Lavon Tomei. If a bright spot appears on the skin of an individual, that's a baheres. And within the bright spot, given that it's the shiur, the necessary shiur, and within that spot there develops a white hair, that classifies him as a tome muchlat. He is a definitive, he is definitely tome. In seor lovon kidam le baheres, if you have a situation where a white hair appears and first, and then around that a bright spot appears, tohor. He is not tomei. Sofek, if there's a doubt which came first, tomei. The Tanakama says he is tomei, and therefore if he were to go into the Beis HaMikdash, after a sofek arose, he will be chayav kores. Rabbi Yeshua Omer keha. My keha, Omar Rova keha tohor. The word keha, for our purposes, it means, technically speaking, it means darker. That's a situation where a bright spot gets darker. That's grounds for tara. For our purposes, though, keha is being used to mean tohor. So a machlokis between the Zokei Mamre and the Sanhedrin that would parallel machlokis here in the case of a suffix, which came first, would be a topic that could be a topic concerning Zodon Kores, Shigoso Chatos, Nige Botim, the issue of a house affliction, also a discoloration, which is in the realm of Negoyim, Bepluta de Rebelozer, Rabbi Shimon, Verabonon, Disnan, the following Tanaic source concerns Nige Botim, Rebelozer Omer, Rebelozer, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Li Oilam Ein Abayas Tomei, a house does not become a bias minuga, ad shire kishne grisim. There has to appear, first of all, the discoloration, the size of two gris. Gris, for our purposes, represents a certain size. So there has to be two grisim of discoloration. Al shte avonim, on two separate stones that form the walls of the house. Beshte ksolim, on two walls. Bekeren zavis. However, the two walls are in a corner. You have, let's say, the southeastern section of the house on the southern wall and the eastern wall, right there in the corner. Orkoi kishne grisim. The length of this discoloration will be two gris because it's one gris plus one gris. The rochbo, and the width of it is kigris. Therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, it's rather it's highly unlikely that you'll encounter a situation of tumas of nigei botim. According to the Chachamim, though, as long as you have even if you don't meet this particular very restrictive standard, according to those that argue with Rabbi Shimon, the house will be tamei anyway. Therefore, if someone enters the Beis HaMikdash after having been in such a house that had a nega, let us say, on one wall, according to the Rabbanan, he would be in violation of entering the Mikdash Betuma. Is that Zdono Koresh Yugosuchatos? According to Rebbe Elozer B'Shimon, he's not in violation of it. Therefore, this is an issue concerning which, if the Zokin Mamre and the Chachamim argue over this, we are in the realm of something that could be that could classify him as a Zokein Mamre. My time with the Rebbe Shimon, what's the basis of his ruling, of this sort of limited scenario of development of Nigei Batim? The reason he says what he does is as follows. Ksiv Kir, Uksiv Kiros, and Rashi features the Psukim themselves. The Psukim refer to Kir in the singular, and Kiros, walls in the plural. Ezu Kir Shehu Kikiros, which wall is like walls, which in the singular is like a plural. Havemar Ze Keren Zomis, when you're in the corner, it's true that the corner is a continuum of wall. In that sense, it's like one. On the other hand, a corner is made of two walls coming together. So that's a kir, which is like kiros. Nige begodim, bepluto de Rabbi Nosan ben Avtumus v'Rabbanan. The issue of clothing affliction also could be a machlokas between the Zokin Mamre and the Chachamim if they assume the two positions in the following controversy. Reb Nosson ben Avtumus Omer, Minayin lepricha b'vgodim shehi Torah. If you have an article of clothing and the nega, the discoloration, covers the entire garment, that is reason for declaring it to be Tahar. How do you know that? So, he will soon prove that in the Psukim. But according to those that disagree with Reb Nosson ben Avtumus, Pricha, the covering of the garment, where the discoloration covers the entire garment, that will not be grounds for it being tahor. It will still be tomei. And if someone enters the mikdash after having contact with such a garment, he would be in violation of entering the mikdash betumah. Whereas according to Rabbi Nosson, he has a right to enter the mikdash because he has not encountered tumah. This, once again, is a machlokis concerning Zodon Kores Shigasuchatos. As we mentioned, entrance to the Mikdash is such a type of offense. Well, how does Rabbi Nosson ben Avtumus know this, that there is such a concept of Pricha Begodim? Nemro Korachas Vegabachas Be'odom, Venema Korachas Vegabachas Begodim. You find these expressions by man and by clothing. The expressions korachas vegabachas, ma lahalon, just like when dealing with man, porach bekulotar, if a human being had a discoloration, of a nega discoloration, and it covered his entire body, he is declared tar. Afkan, so too by begodim, porach bekulo, equals tohar. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.